Frankie Lee, welcome to WUWM at Night.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
All right. I'm going to lead off with probably a silly question, but is Frankie Lee your birth name?
It is.
All right.
Yeah, it is. It's the first and middle.
Have you been asked this before, if you took the name from the Bob Dylan song?
Yeah, it's usually the drunk guy at the end of the night. It's the first thing he wants to know.
Well, I'm glad I got the jump on him.
He recites, yeah, you're doing good. It's sobering during the day. It's entertaining because you could be named after, like, I don't know, like a Judas Priest song or something that would just attract a totally different crowd. So it kind of fits. I don't know, what parent decided to name me that and why. I don't think it had to do with Bob Dylan, but they're old hippies. I'm sure it was in their subconscious somewhere.
And do you also have people saying that your voice when you sing sounds a lot like Bob Dylan?
Yeah. I get less of that now, but I don't know if that's because of that. I've just exhausted that question and or that. Dylan is the kind of a guy that has a different voice on almost every record, so I definitely have a certain period of Bob Dylan, and we're from the same place. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens, you know, but that's good. I like that. That's a good point of reference for people. I sound like Bob Dylan.
I'd like to talk to you about your EP, Middle West. It's really powerful. 5 songs. You've been working on this for a long time, or I should say, this is your first recorded album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been working on a lot of different stuff most of my life. The music has always just been a part of it. I never really stepped up to put my own thing out until, I guess it was about a year and a half ago, but... the way that came to be had been through years of travel and playing in different bands and just getting around the country and finding out exactly what I wanted to say and how I want it to sound, you know. There's tons of recordings out there of failed attempts at what this became, but, you know, like anything, I think it takes a while to learn the craft and understand what you want to do with it, you know. There's a lot of people who, you know, they get a hammer and they just start bashing a wall down. But for me, it was just learning how to use what I had and figuring out the best way to adapt it to what's going on now and what has always been, I consider, going on. And the music I enjoy is just another link in the chain, you know. Mm. And to humble yourself enough to even approach it that way is so, it just took a long time. I don't think I was ready when I was younger. My lyrics didn't really mean much, and I was just trying to learn how to write songs. And these actually, they came together in the right way at the right time. So it just happened, you know. It just kind of came out.
You've been writing songs since you're about 17, and you've been a singer-songwriter for about 10 years, hundreds of songs under your belt. And most musicians, they want to get that music out there. They want to start promoting themselves, but you've made the conscious decision to go the other way.
Yeah, we're of the age where that just content seems to outweigh kind of context now, and so I try to look at what's going on to the opposite in most things. And yeah, like I said, at the same time, I think, you know, just if you respect and enjoy what you do, I mean, it takes a long time to get to the point where you're actually able to do it. I mean, anybody can get up and sing songs. That's proven night after night in bars across America, and there's nothing wrong with that. I really enjoy that part of it, and I'd been a part of that for a long time, but, you know, to actually take yourself serious enough where people have to take a night off, wait in line, physically buying music these days is crazy. To actually expect that from people, I just thought, you know, I'd have to really have it together and know what I wanted to say and take time with it, you know. I still put pressure on myself to put things out, but I know that it's going to last. It's not something... I'm not going to drop music because people don't pick it up, you know. I'm just going to keep it going whatever way is possible. I hopefully won't take 15 years again, but you never know. I mean, it's just a part of life. Don't really have a choice about it, you know.
Yeah, I read a quote saying that you feel like the success of your music or of one's music doesn't necessarily have anything to do with you or with the artist. And you were using an example of the Beatles. If they came out today, they wouldn't necessarily be the smash that they were back then.
Yeah.
So I found that really interesting.
Yeah, I love music. I think about it all the time, and I think about the people who do it before me and hopefully after. I think about that just as much, you know. And when I grew up, I got to create the mystery of music. I'm still pre-internet age. I was a kid, and I got to listen to records where, you know, I didn't know who the Pixies were or what they looked like, but their music was really powerful. You know, it made me feel something, and if I would have seen a picture of Frank Black, you know, or like, you know what I mean, if he would have been slandered on a blog or something because he was making experimental music, I probably wouldn't listen to it. I would never picked it up, you know. And I think, yeah, the same thing with the Beatles. And the thing about bands to me, and especially musicians, is that they're supposed to be outcasts. They're not, there's nothing, you shouldn't want to do this. I mean, it's just an insane way to make a living, you know. It's not even a choice. And there's always these little groups of people, you know, and they're usually working class kids who come out and they have so much to say and so much resistance from what they're doing, but they just push through so much of it. And then, you know, sometimes they don't make it, but most of the time, if you can communicate these small ideas, you know, between friends or within your community, even family, you know, back in country and bluegrass, it was just all families playing music, you know. That translates so much more now, where you're trying to get everything universal and trying to get, before people even put records out, they think about what kind of video they want to make. It's just insane, you know. But that is, we're in a global culture, and, you know, all of the things I'm talking about are pretty much in the past. But I still think, you know, there's people out there who I hope are coming up and see, you know, not necessarily what I'm doing in an ego way, but like, there's certain people who are still pushing through and making it harder on themselves to do it. You know, I think the best example for everybody is probably a Jack White or something like that, you know, where he actually figured out a way to be himself, whoever that is, in this crazy world we're in now. And he's, you know, he's going further back. The more it pushes out, he goes further back. You know, he's doing like a recording booth now, you know, where it's like you go cut your own record live and walk away with it. It's the exact opposite of going into a studio and click track and everything and overdub and things and digitally, you know, all that stuff is just, if there's always going to be a resistance to that. And I'm not really on the resistance side, but I don't believe what we're doing right now is really going to last. Nothing ever really does. So you might as well focus on the things you can take care of, which are the songs, you know. It's really all you got, you know.
Yeah. And I read you saying that you used an analogy of building a really strong foundation as you would in a house. And then once you have a strong foundation, you can build anything on it, you can redecorate, you can change it, but without a strong foundation, you'll just sink.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that goes across every single thing in life, you know. I think relationships are the same way, you know. There's nothing that prepares you for what's to come when you start something, you know. Any journey, if you expect to make X amount of money or play this many shows or, you know, your band members are going to stay together forever, that's just not going to happen. So I think without that foundation, you know, especially for me in music, but in life, it's, you know, you watch a lot of that crumble, and it's too bad, because a lot of that stuff, you know, you want it. That's when people start to go crazy, because they build up these expectations and think, you know, there's an unhuman quality to these people who they believe in, and then all of a sudden, like, it's gone, you know, it's just totally gone. The foundation's gone, you know. I don't think people are prepared in that same way, you know, and I was fortunate. I had some really good people who helped me build that foundation, you know, and I got to have perspective on my own before I had to just, you know, start in on it myself. So
now that this EP is out there, does it feel good to have it now on something you can hold and walk into a store and buy?
Yeah, it's strange. I mean, you know, you can't ever get used to that. I really like having something so I can give to people who ask, where can I find your music? And now I just put them in the back of my car.
Yeah.
And if anybody asks, I'm like, wait 1 minute, sir. So that part is really nice. As far as physically having music, I love it as a listener and a fan myself. You know, I just picked up a Nicky Lane record, and I've still, every time I open it up, look at it and go through it, and it's just great. You know, I just love the physical form of music. It's like a book, you know.
And the inspiration in part for this EP, if I understand correct, was from a road trip coming back from California to Minnesota. And I assume that's maybe when you moved back to Minnesota?
Yeah.
So you were living out of state for a while, originally from Minnesota, and then you came back. First of all, what inspired you to come back to Minnesota at that time?
Well, I had been out there a couple of years, and I moved there from Austin, which I'd been in for about 6 or 7 years, Austin, Texas. And I missed my 20s. In Minneapolis. I had a great time in Austin and LA, but I didn't know what was going on back home. I had no idea. A couple bands were starting to get out of Minneapolis that people were telling, you know, of course, checking in back home, people were telling me about, and one of them was Trampled by Turtles. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago, and they played you know, like 150 people. They came back and, you know, we listened to Chris Isaak and had a few sodas and stayed up all night. And they were talking about what was going on back home and the studios and the other musicians and what they were up to. And it just was really inspiring to me that, I mean, you can't change where you're from. And the people you really relate to are these other Midwestern guys who's extremely humble and they just think it's so great to play to 150 people, you know, and now they're playing to like 10,000 or whatever, you know, they're huge now, but they're the same guys. And, you know, not to dig on LA or Austin at all, but there's a different breed of person out there that you can't really change, you know, it's just the way it works. It's great actually, if you want to do it. But for me, I had found people making music that were like me. And I was like, okay, well, where are they doing this and how are they doing this? And luckily from that trip, my time was up and I didn't know where to go. I went to Portland for a couple months and on my drive back, just everything I think just followed me, you know, from the last probably 10 years and just started pouring out, you know. I remember that time I got to Western Montana, I was like, okay, I got to keep going. There are times on any on any given journey when you want to turn back or stop and stay. Or I just kept going back, and when I got back, I just landed at a great time for myself and for the music I was trying to make. There was people there ready to play and support it. So
yeah, it's fascinating because at the same time you were talking about, you know, the kind of crazy industry that is the music industry these days. But at the same time, it seems like there's really this growing demand and thirst for traditionalists like yourself, like people who are really trying to make quality music. You'd mentioned in an article Bon Iver and people like that who are just the real deal and who aren't necessarily basing what they do on what seems like pop trend. So it also seems like the Midwest is in demand right now, and Midwest musicians. So amen. Yeah, so it does really seem like an awesome time to be back.
It is. It's great. I mean, as soon as Brooklyn has Pendleton stores and Carhartt jackets, you know, there's something going on. I mean, the beard and mustache and flannel shirts thing is so hilarious because, you know, everybody starts dressing like your grandpa, and you're like, we have to wear that because we're cold all the time. You know, you have to shop at a Fleet Farm, and they're getting them from boutiques, but... Yeah, I mean, it's like anything. I'm sure that'll go away. I hope not. But, you know, at the same time, I'm really glad that the push has gotten so far. I mean, I think it's the same thing every generation has. It's gotten so far away from what people care about. And I don't know if it's authentic. I don't know if it's Americana. I don't know if it's Scandinavian guys with beards and guitars or what it is. But there's definitely a contingent of this everywhere. I mean, you see it everywhere. And then you almost want to like wave a little flag that says you're actually from a farm and you actually have, you know, a pickup truck, and, you know, it's kind of funny. But yeah, you just ride it out, you know, it'll come back around again.
Yeah, I was going to ask, when you're on the tour outside of the Midwest, do you have people, drunk guy at the end of the night, coming up and saying, are you really, like, is this just an act, or are you really from there?
Oh, yeah. Luckily, I can have enough little stories and anecdotes to get rid of that. But it's very strange right now what people are trying to find through music and clothing. And I think the push for live music is coming back so strong because of that. And when people actually hear it and feel it, it's different. I don't think people have for a while. You know, it's refreshing to actually see people play their instruments and sing harmonies. That's something that I think people were deprived of. Even me when I was younger, I don't remember hearing bands like that. It was still major label stuff. There wasn't a way for us to access anything real. So now that that's out there, it's really inspiring. So come one, come all, drunken questions at the end of the night of where we're from and how we got our shirts and if it's real. I'm happy to defend what we do.
Well, we're glad to have you back in the Midwest, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You're playing now with Joe Pug, and you've been doing a lot of work with many artists. What's the shift like when you're working, doing solo work versus collaborating with other artists?
Oh, it's all the same to me. I mean, even when I play, it's usually a different band every time. For that reason alone, I just don't like limiting myself musically. I really have no problem. I don't really want to shake a tambourine, but that's also fun for a couple songs. I think anything that's good resonates with me musically, and I want to support it. So there's a balance. I know I'm going to have to probably learn how to say no to certain projects, but I'm not going to turn down a Joe Pug show or a Haley Bonner gig or anything. I mean, if... The reason I got into this was because of the people and the music. I don't really care if it's mine or theirs or all of ours together. That's not really important to me. Mm-hmm. We all need to help each other. But any time that I can help, I'm I'm there, man. It mm-hmm. doesn't take much for me to get out of town and play music. It's very little. You'd be surprised.
And you're based now in the Twin Cities, right?
Yeah. I live in Minneapolis right now. Yeah.
And speaking of collaborations, you also did a song or two for the Songs for Slim.
Yeah. We actually recorded that here with Joe Crockett and John Phillips and Quinn Sharber. It was really great. A friend of mine, Ben Perlstein, set that up. Slim and my dad used to play together. They were old buddies. So one of the first people I remember seeing play guitar was Slim Dunlap, other than my dad. You know, it was crazy to actually think about that. I never, you know, you get older and get some perspective on things, but Slim is just a beautiful guy, and I'll get emotional if I talk about him too much, but he's definitely in spirit and mind there, and his body's just, you know, weak right now, and so all those songs coming together, it was an honor to be a part of. We go and play music at his house sometimes on Sundays, and it's the same thing, you know, it's part of the community, and people get together, and if that's all we have to do, I mean, that's nothing. I mean, anybody across the country would want to do that, so I'm glad I got asked and got to play with guys down here, because that was kind of the first introduction to a lot of these guys, and I love all those dudes. They're so great. Great musicians and great people. Everyone I've met in Milwaukee. Really, I'm honest. I keep meeting people from Milwaukee through these guys, and they're all great.
Do you see much overlap between the Milwaukee scene and the Twin Cities scene?
Yeah, I mean, as far as sound goes, you know, and as far as I think what we grew up listening to, but Milwaukee's a different city, man. People down here really play. Like, they can really grind out a night, you know. Minneapolis, there's, I think, a lot wider range, maybe, of music that, not to say there isn't here, but I think we all are going for the same thing, you know, which is to play and to keep it close and to kind of not forget where you come from. People put their lives into their songs. I think it's really cool. It's a very rare thing. I'd share the stage with a couple of those guys, and there wouldn't be any difference if it was here or there, you know. It's the Midwest, man.
Yeah, I have to say, your voice and some of your songs, they really bring out the the reality and the ache of what something like the polar vortex does to one that you just don't hear in a lot of other music.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you about your father. You said that he plays guitar?
Yeah, he passed away when I was young, but he played a lot of music, yeah. Music was kind of our little religion, you know. We'd wake up and listen to it in the mornings, and sometimes they'd do it alone, and sometimes we'd go see it together. It just was kind of the fabric of our lives growing up. You know, we weren't sitting on each other's knees and playing spoons, but there was always a record on, and there was always a guitar. My mom plays accordion, you know. It's great. She taught me how to sing harmonies, and she's still got piano and stuff, so. Yeah, I'm thankful for that. I'm learning a lot about my dad through playing and through being back in Minneapolis.
Mm. Yeah. You know, I don't want to jinx anything here, but if this were the only EP that you ever put out, would you feel satisfied with this?
Oh, yeah. I stand behind it. There's always going to be a necessity for more. And, you know, records are just the word. It's just a record of a time in your life. That's a very important time in my life, and I'm really glad that songs were coming at that time. That's a really good record of who I am and where I was at, where I'm still at. I'm glad that exists.
And we certainly hope we hear more. Do you also have another date for coming back to Milwaukee in the future?
I was just talking to someone about that. I'm trying to get like a little run. I'm actually getting into the studio for the next record, if you believe that. I don't know if anything will come of it. That's going to happen. And then I think the fall, and there's so many rooms here that I want to play, so I'll be back a lot. I'll make sure everyone knows about it. Yeah.
Wonderful. And how would people stay on top of your tour schedule?
I do my own little website thing, frankieleemusic.com. The internet. But, you know, just listen to what your friends say and dig the stuff, you know, that you actually dig, not that the internet does. And that's hopefully how you'll find out about what I'm doing. Or what I'm not doing.
That sounds like a great way to close it off. Well, Frankie Lee, thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you. It's been great.